Okay, my friends, this is the S Machine. This is the S Anthony Says podcast. You know what? This is one of those things that I'm going to do. This episode is actually inspired by you weirdos who've written me and asked me if I've ever actually cut anything from the show for time. And the answer to that question is, it doesn't happen often, but I have cut a few things from the show, not because of quality, but because of time. These are kind of outtakes. Not that I made any mistakes in them, but they're just essentially things that were chopped out of the show. Because I wanted to keep it into a specific range. So these are kind of outtakes and extras, because these are things that didn't make it into the show. Like I said, only because I didn't have enough time in the amount of time I wanted the show to be. So these are outtakes and extras. Per your request, here's some stuff that didn't get into the show. And I said, you know what? Instead of trying to put them in different shows where I think they'll fit, I'm going to take all of that stuff and pack it into one episode. And this episode is going to be called Outtakes and Extras. And it's because you asked for it. Yeah, that's right. You asked for it, you sick bastards. So if you ask for it, the S Machine's going to give it to you. Are you ready? Of course you are.
You are about roll to that theme to the S. song, Anthony Says it. Podcast, starring S. Anthony Thomas. You lucky bastards. All right, this is S. Anthony. Glad you came back. Ready for the next one? All right, here we go.
Go! S. Anthony Thomas. Go! S.
You know what, folks? I've traveled back and forth across this country a whole bunch of times for my job and for other reasons. And you know what? I caught the plane, you know, but I really, I preferred the bus. I really did. Because you get an opportunity to see the country in a way that you normally wouldn't. And the first time I did it, and the second time, and the third time I did it, the difference between catching the bus and going across the country and riding an airplane, the price difference was so drastic that it didn't even make sense to get an airplane. I mean, it was like it was the equivalent of spending $900 on a flight or $119 to ride on the bus, because that's what it was at the time. That was the difference at the time when these trips were new to me, you know. So I figured, you know, if I catch the bus across country for $100 and 100 and change, yeah, I mean, it's only going to be 2 or 3 days at the most, probably 2 days, maybe 2.5 at the most. I'm not going to need this another. It's not going to cost me $700 in food. So I might as well just put that money in my pocket. I'm not like in a big hurry to get across the country. I just need to be there because that's where I need to be. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed meeting different people. Every time I've traveled back and forth across the country on the bus, I've met wonderful people, heard wonderful stories, you know, and it's always been a wonderful experience to see the country, see the countryside. It's been great. It really was. You see, I'm the kind of cat that I can sleep pretty much anywhere. I can sleep on a bus. I've actually slept on a park bench when it became something that needed to have happened. I can sleep anywhere. Yeah, that's right. But I can't go to the bathroom anywhere. I mean, I can do the standing up thing. But I'll be honest with you, when you've been on a bus with 49 other people, and it's a trip that goes all the way across the country, even though most of the people on the bus are not making the trip all the way from coast to coast, some of them are making the trip for a bit of the distance, a third of it, a quarter of it, sometimes three quarters of it. And there's a few of us that were making a trip all the way from Philadelphia or New Jersey or New York all the way to Los Angeles. And if you've ever had a whole bunch of people at your house, if you really think about it, say for the sake of argument, you have a family get together at your house. You know, not the big family get together like Christmas or Thanksgiving. Just, you know, whoever's living in the city you're in, maybe you have 10 people over or something like that, or even just a bunch of friends. And say for the sake of argument, you have one bathroom available for them. What does that bathroom look like when there's 10 people in the house? Does it look the same way it looks when it's just you and your husband or you and your wife? No. If you live by yourself, does it look the way it looks when you leave it? No. What does it look like, my friends? Does it look pleasant and fresh and great? No. It looks like death and destruction. Well, that's only 10 people. Yeah.
And that is 10 people using a bathroom that flushes the disgusting crap away. But this is a bus where you have the disgusting crap sloshing around down there and you have to put more stuff on top of it. Who sits down on a bus toilet? I don't know, but those people should be smacked in the head because they're gross. I didn't even want to pee in the bathroom on the bus, but I had to. But I wasn't sitting down, no. And I didn't want, I just couldn't do it. They got to come up with a better way to get rid of the stuff that people's bodies need to get rid of than the bathrooms on the bus, damn it. But like I said, you know what it looks like after 10 people. But these buses hold 50 or 60 people. 50 or 60 people. And these people don't know you. The people that know you destroy your bathroom. And these are 50 people that not only don't know you, but they also know that they'll never see you again. There will be no accountability for the ass. Oh, I almost vomited just thinking about it. Let's just say there's no repercussions for what they do and they don't care. And that's the bus bathroom. Hell no. So when it comes time to you have to sit down for whatever reason, and I know why women hover. I don't blame you at all. I never make fun of women for hovering over the toilet. I don't blame you. Excuse me for that cough. I'm a little sick right now, but I'm still doing this. Yeah, that's right. So I'm at the point now where I know that the activity that I need to take part of requires me to sit down. I've done all the standing I can do regarding, you know, having to stand up and use the facilities. But unfortunately, just like every other animal, every other carbon-based organism, there comes a time when you gotta sit down to do what you gotta do. And it became apparent based on the fact that it just became apparent that that's what needed to happen. Could not stop it. And I felt horrible. And we pull up to the bus station. I'm going, oh, God, please let this bus station be better than this bus, because I don't think I have a choice at this point. And I don't want to die. I'm just going to have to suffer through this. So I walk into the bus station. Everyone else is buying food, and I'm going to buy food later on. And I eat, and they eat. But I eat a small amount because I want to not have to use the facilities in a sitting fashion. Yeah, that's right. I said preemptive non-sitting at any kind of facility strike. I wanted to stop it. So I didn't put any fuel in that would require me to do that. I tried to eliminate that. Well, that's a bad choice of words, eliminate. I tried to eliminate having to eliminate. Shut up, punks. So I go into the bus facilities, knowing I have to sit down, and I stand at the door about to walk in, not knowing what kind of destruction I'm going to see. Because, as I said, 10 people in your house who know you will destroy your bathroom, and 50 people on the bus cause mega destruction. And this is a bus bathroom, which means thousands of people are going to come by, and I'm hoping I don't see a destruction in there. So I slowly opened the door. I didn't even want to touch the damn light switch, but I did because I figured what difference does it make now? I'm probably going to catch 55,000 diseases anyway. At least if my fingers get all chewed up from touching this disgusting light switch, I'll know to stop now and save the rest of me. But I turn on the switch and I push the door open, prepared for destruction. And what do I see? I see the most clean, pleasant, wonderful bathroom I have ever seen in public in my life. I mean, clean, completely white floors, completely white sink, full soap dispensers, full hand towels. The hand drying machines were clean. The knobs were clean. Even the corners of the wall on the floor spit shined. On the back of the door, you can see how the people, how often they clean the bathroom. And it's quite often. Oh, yeah. Life is good. So I walk in and I pick a stall. And I get myself prepared for what I need to do in the facilities. I prepare myself for the fact that I will have to sit down to do what needs to be done. Now, unbeknownst to me, I wasn't paying much attention. I was just so shocked by the cleanliness of this place. I begin the activity, and I realize that other people have come in behind me, and they're remarking, also shocked also at how clean the facilities are. They're not believing it. And one sits to my left in their thing, and one sits to my right. And they're talking to each other through me, not saying, hey, buddy, because I don't blame them. I don't. Me personally, when I'm at a urinal, I don't want to talk to you. And I definitely don't want to talk to you when taking part of this specific activity. Don't want to do it. So these two people are talking, and the discussion starts to get a little more personal than necessary. And I'm thinking, do they not know there's a stranger sitting? They have to know that I'm sitting between them, because they wouldn't have chosen stalls that were, you know, on either side of me if they didn't know. And the fact the door was closed and those two doors were open, so they had to know. They should see my shoes. They got to know someone's there, but it didn't matter. They started to argue. But it wasn't that big of a deal. And I stopped paying attention to them. And I just enjoyed the cleanliness of the bathroom. And I look down, and I'm looking at the thing that I'm sitting on, and I notice it's not shaped like a regular one. You know, you ones at home that you sit on are rounded. This one is more egg-shaped. It has a point in the front. It's pointy, and not pointy, but you know, it has that egg shape. And the seat had the opening in the front. Now, obviously, I don't know. I'm assuming that's for women, because women, you know, are built differently than we are. You did know that, didn't you? So they, you know, eliminate differently when they're, you know what I'm saying? So it's there to allow them to eliminate what they need to eliminate in the sitting position without leaving something on the apparatus. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I really, at the conclusion of this sitting activity, I'm going to need to stand up and take care of that business as well. And under normal circumstances, I would have to conclude this and then start the other activity. I would have to go from the two, if you understand what I mean by two, to the one, if you understand what I mean by one. But I noticed that because of the shape of the apparatus, I don't have to stand up, because it doesn't require any me attempting to fold things and bend things that shouldn't be bent, because I'm not doing that. It's not necessary. This whole thing in front of me is wide open. There's space for me to take part of multitasking and taking the two and the one and allowing the two and the one to happen simultaneously. I'd like to refer to that as a three. A new thing, a three. When you do two and one at the same time while sitting, will now be known as a three. So I decide to take part in three. I decide to multitask. That way I can leave this facility as quickly as possible and go back to the bus and enjoy the continuation of my journey. Yes, that's what I want to do. But as I begin to take part of this multitasking, the two people on either side of me now start to have a more heated argument. They begin yelling and screaming at each other. Yelling and yelling and screaming and calling and saying things about each other's mother that, let's just say, would not be the most polite thing to say about a person's mother, and something you definitely would not say about a person's mother if the person whose mother you're talking about had a weapon. You wouldn't say those things. And I'm sitting between them going, don't they realize that there's someone in here and that this person is trying to multitask? And then in the middle of my multitasking, they both start pounding on the walls at the same time, angrily. You mother jumping, blah, 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 slamming. Now, because I don't expect this to happen, as I'm trying to multitask, if you know what I mean, they startle me. So I am now, I take my hands off of what they needed to be on to make sure that multitasking was to be completed accurately with the, And I was only startled for a couple seconds, and I regained my composure, and then I realized in the fraction of a second, maybe a second that I was distracted, I noticed that the multitasking had not been as accurate as I needed it to be, and the underwear that I was wearing that was dry when I came into the room is now not dry. That's right. These jackasses got into a fight, started banging on the walls, and distracted me, and I peed on my own drawers. bastards. Fortunately, it didn't go through to the pants, but the drawers were wet. I was not going to pull them up. So these two a-holes get up and walk out, and I think they're going to get into a fight. But they got out there, and when the real, I guess it's really weird. When you argue with someone over the phone, over the internet, and your mother, and your, but when you see them as human beings, the second you come face to face, you realize you're talking to another person, and these two jackasses go, you know what, I'm sorry about that. That was just too much. They make up and walk out. There's really no ramifications for their fight for them. They said some stuff, made up, and left. But there was someone who was damaged by the argument. I felt like a child whose parents fought right in front of them. Mom and Dad, look what you did to me. You ruined me. I should have said, strangers who were fighting over something stupid, you ruined me. I had dry drawers and now they're not dry because of your punk asses. So now I'm in a bathroom by myself and I have to get these drawers off me. I pull up my pants. I'm holding the drawers, trying my best not to touch the wetness. And I'm looking at the sink going, should I try to wash these things? And I look out the door to see what's going on and I can see people are getting ready to get back on the bus. So I don't have time to wash them. So I got to throw them away. And I like those drawers. They made my ass look incredible. So I walk out the bathroom and I'm wearing my jeans and there's nothing between me and the jeans. And I don't know how people wear their clothes like that. I can understand how women do it, but I don't know how dudes do it because quite frankly, I don't know about you, but I don't know if it was just me, but all I'm going to say is when you have new jeans and you're not wearing anything between you and the jeans, the zipper is not your friend. It's not your friend at all. It's your mortal enemy and it will remind you that it doesn't like you. And I said, I cannot survive like this. So everyone else is getting on the bus. I pull the bus driver off to the side and I tell him the short version of this story. And I said, I need to get some drawers out of there. He goes, okay, I'll hook you up. And I get in there and I get a pair of drawers and I kind of hide them under my arm and try to rush back into the bathroom. And people are going, what the hell? Why are we not leaving, man? Why are we not leaving? Oh, yeah, that dude right there, he pissed on his drawers. I'm like, why would you tell them that? Why didn't you just say he had to go to the bathroom? You didn't have to tell him that I pissed on my drawers. And in addition to that, you didn't even give him the backstory. The way he said it, he made it sound like I lost control of my bowels or my hobby is peeing on my own drawers in strange bathrooms. Like I'm some kind of weirdo that goes, you know what I've got? I know when I cross the country, I'm going to stop in 11 states. I'm going to get 11 pairs of drawers. It's this new thing called piss on your drawers across America. Here's my drawers from Oklahoma. Piss on the drawers. No, bastard. Couldn't tell them the backstory. I told you the whole story because I was embarrassed. And then you just cut off all the good stuff and told them about the pee drawers. Bastard. So I go in and change my clothes and I get back on the bus and everybody's looking at me like, look at you, disgusting pig. So I grab the mic at the front of the bus and he goes, sir, and I said, shut up, punk. You decided you're going to tell everybody about the pee drawers, and I'm telling them the backstory. Don't start this bus. And this is yes, I actually did that. And I told them the same story I'm telling you, which is the truth. And everyone goes, oh, okay. And the bus driver goes, was it really necessary? And I said, was it really necessary for you to tell him what happened? And then he shut his mouth and drove to the next city. And then in the next city, I went to the bathroom again, and my drawers were dry. And I have an undefeated streak since that day of dry drawers. Yeah, that's right. So from now on, I think I'm going to fly. You know what, people? Let me tell you something. I got to talk to you about this. I was talking to a female friend of mine, and she was going on and on and on about how her friends always helped each other. And I said, guys don't help each other. And she said, yes, guys do. I've seen a friend of mine, Bill, was getting his butt whooped, and his friend drove all the way across town and jumped into the fray. Yes, guys will do that. If your friend's about to get his behind whooped, of course you'll jump in. If I was driving down the street and I saw someone trying to whoop my friend's behind,
I jump out of my car and whoop that person's behind. If a friend of mine called me and said, somebody's coming to my house to whoop my behind, I'd go over there and be right there and whoop that person's behind with my friend, or be there and get my behind whooped with them, because that's what guy friends do. When it comes to physical danger or moving something or something blowing up, we're right there, damn it. You're not going to physically injure my friend. Hell no, you won't. How dare you even think about trying to cause some kind of physical damage to my friend? That's my homie. That's my buddy. You'll never hurt them. But when it comes to the emotional stuff, we will be absolutely no help at all. In fact, we will sit back and enjoy your humiliation. Yeah, that's right. I said it. That's how guys are, damn it. Yeah, that's right. Women would never do that to each other. I mean, they do that to each other, but they would talk about each other behind their backs. We're not going to talk about it behind your back. We'll talk about it in front of you because we want to see your face when we laugh at you when your wife shows up at the bar and screams at you because you said you were going to be home. And then as she walks out, she looks back and says, you better be home in 45 minutes or else. And then you try to play it off. We look at the clock and we know it's 40. You know, it takes 15 minutes to get home and you leave after a half an hour. Because you know you better be home in 45 minutes. And we laugh at you as you walk out the bar because you're a punk. Yeah, that's right. Oh, you got 50. It takes 15 minutes to get to your house, man. She left 27 minutes ago. You got 3 minutes before you got to leave. You got to be 3 minutes before you got to leave for your mommy gets you. And all that kind of stuff. Why? Because it's humiliating. Now, nobody else in the bar knows that his wife sat down and grilled the crap out of him and told him he better be home in 45 minutes. She screamed it, but not loud enough. It was one of those screams where it's a loud bar and everybody's yelling and nobody else really knows what's going on. But we're sitting right there watching her tear you a new asshole, and we're loving every second of it. We're thinking, you know what? We know you're going to try to cut it close. You know better than just to run out the bar, because if you run out the bar right now begging your wife, we're going to destroy you for the next year. So you try to be tough and wait. You know, like I said, it takes 15 minutes to get to your house. She just left, you know, which means basically you can stay for 30 minutes, but you have to run out the door after 30 minutes, because if you don't, you're going to be late and you're really going to be in trouble. And we love every second of it. We're looking at the clock and laughing, punk. Guys, it's our job as guys to destroy our friends. That's right. You think a guy is going to do anything that's going to embarrass his friend in front of other people? No. We want that joy for ourselves. We don't need other people to know you got embarrassed. We need to know you got embarrassed so we can just dig it. It's our delicious little treat. Destruction of your best friends. Oh, yeah. See, a woman would tell you that there's water in the chair that you're about to sit down in your light-colored pants. A woman would say, oh, no, Margaret, don't sit down. There's some water in the chair. You don't want people to think you peed on yourself. Don't do that. Don't sit down, Margaret. Well, in fact, they'd be drying it up before you even got back to your chair. And even if they dried up most of it and it's not even enough water to really make a damage to your clothes, they'll still warn you because it might still be damp. It might be damp. But would a guy tell his friend that's coming back in light-colored pants that some water got spilled in his chair and he's about to spill water and he's about to sit down in it and have a wet ass and look like he peed on himself? Of course not. In fact, not only would we not tell you, we'd probably put more water on the chair and make sure you sat down in it real good. Oh, man, what did they come in and told me there's some water in this chair? Tell you there was some water in the chair? Are you kidding me? We put more water in the chair so your ass would get wetter so we could laugh at you. Go ahead, get another chair. You'll have to stand up with a wet ass. You better sit down in that chair and just enjoy the wet assness, punk. Ha ha, gotcha. That's what guys do. Guys will humiliate each other every chance they get. That's what we do. And I know this because I've been on the other end of that stuff. I've been on the other end of it when guys do something like that. Like when they go, oh, yeah, go ahead, use the bathroom right there, buddy. And you go in the bathroom and the bathroom is disgusting smelling. And they hold the door and make you stay in there for 5 minutes. Those dirty bastards. I've seen it happen. Okay, it happened to me, but that's a different story. Those bastards didn't let me out. I ought to kick the crap out of all of them. Bastards. And the guy that was the ringleader of tricking me into going to the stinky-ass bathroom and holding the door closed and not letting me out, which was a horrible thing to do, especially to somebody like me that hates that crap. Oh, I was just so tempted to get back at his punk ass. But I said, I'm too mature for that. I am not going to stage a prank. I'll laugh at you if something bad happens to you, but I won't set you up. I'm not that kind of guy. But I want to get you back, punk. So we're in the supermarket, and I'm in the supermarket with this punk, and he knows my rule. I'll usually have a Bluetooth in my ear, and one of the things that I do with my Bluetooth is obviously keep myself available to have my hands on the steering wheel when I'm driving for my safety and for the safety of others, because I'm the kind of guy that loves human beings and protects their lives. I'm a hero, damn it. Okay, I just don't want to have any car crashes. But one of the other things that's great about my Bluetooth is when there's someone comes up to me and starts a dumbass conversation and I want to end the conversation quickly, I tap my ear, pretend like there's an important phone call, start a fake conversation as I walk away, and those people usually go, oh, well, he's having a conversation. It was nice talking to you. And then they move on and leave me the hell alone. That's what happens. And he's seen me do that on several occasions. He knows my trick because I've mastered that trick, because I'm an incredible human being who does incredible things. Yeah, that's right. Shut up, punks. So one day he decides he sees someone coming toward him that he does not want to talk to, and he realizes it's time to use the S machine's trick of using your Bluetooth to get away from jackasses. So he spins his head around really quickly to me and goes, oh crap, oh man, here they come, I got to get out of here, I can't talk to these jackasses, they'll talk me to death. But what he didn't realize, when he spun around, his Bluetooth fell off his ear. So I go to pick up the Bluetooth. He doesn't notice I'm picking it up. And those two people come up to him. And of course, they were bigger jackasses as he described them to be. And I just said, all right, I'm out of here. I'm going to let you guys talk. He said he wanted to talk to you and walked away from him. He gave me that evil look and I started to laugh. And they started talking about dumb crap, because I moved to the aisle behind because I wanted to hear what those jackasses were talking about. And God Lord, they sucked as human beings. Not evil, just annoying and never knowing when to shut the hell up. So he can't take it anymore. I can tell by the body language I see looking in the reflection in the soda machine. And I see him wanting to get out of that conversation so bad. He would have loved it if someone had just came in, robbed the store, and shot him to make a point to the manager to open up the safe, because at least he'd be dead, but he wouldn't have to talk to these two jackasses. So what does he do? He tries to use my trick. He taps his ear. But one of the things you notice is, if you know the trick, you take your hand up to the Bluetooth, but you don't actually touch the Bluetooth, because if you touch the Bluetooth, it will actually activate and maybe make a phone call or make a sound, and you don't want to do that. You just want to use the Bluetooth to get away from the jackasses. So, of course, you can't touch the Bluetooth, and if you don't know the Bluetooth is no longer there and you can't touch it, you're not now informed that the Bluetooth is gone. So he touches his ear, not realizing the Bluetooth is gone, and he starts to have this bullcrap conversation talking about how important his phone call is and that he has to take it right now. And the two people are looking at him like, what the hell is he talking about? So now he steps away a couple of steps, making his hand motion like, within a minute, having a conversation in a Bluetooth that's not in his ear. Why is it not in his ear? Because he spun around too fast and flew off. And how do I know it's not in his ear? Because it's in my pocket and I'm laughing right now. So he's there. They're standing. Normally, when you tell somebody you got a Bluetooth conversation, they usually just kind of go, okay, well, I'll let you go, and they walk away. But he's talking into nothing, and they're staring at him. They haven't walked away. They're wondering why this crazy man, in their estimation, is talking into nothing. And they're staring, and they haven't left. So he has to keep going on with this conversation that's not actually happening. And I'm laughing my nuts off. And then I reattached my nuts and laughed them off again. So I'm just letting this go on and on and on. And what you started to notice is he's getting more and more animated with the conversation to make it look more important so he can get these people to leave. He doesn't want to walk away. And he starts to notice that there's people looking at him curiously. And they're kind of motioning towards him. You know that thumb motion when you go, look at this guy over there, right? And people behind the cash register going, what the hell? We're going to have to call security? What the hell's wrong? And of course, me being his friend who was held in the bathroom, the stinky ass bathroom, 4 months earlier for about 3 minutes and 15 seconds of hell, is sitting there in the cans aisle laughing his ass off, then reattaching his ass and laughing it off again, because that was me, damn it. So now there's a whole bunch of people kind of looking at him in horror because this insane person is having an animated conversation into nothing.
He hears my laugh and doesn't even pay attention to it because I could be laughing at anything. I could have seen something funny. I could have run across someone I know. But that's not why I was laughing. I was laughing too hard for that to be the case. So I walk around, no longer enjoying the show and the reflection in the soda machine. I walk around the corner and I see him there, and he's looking at me, still having this imaginary conversation into his empty hand and the Bluetooth that doesn't exist. And he looks at me as if to say, "What the hell is wrong with you?" while still maintaining the conversation. And I walk up to him very slowly, still laughing, wiping tears in my face, reattaching my balls and ass again, because as I have said, at this point I am laughing hard enough to laugh my nuts off and laugh my ass off. And I did that, yet I reattached him again. And I walk up to this jackass and I put my hand in front of him with my fingers closed. And I said, "That's an interesting phone conversation you're having there, buddy. You're really animated. I hope you're not having a hard time with the person you're talking with." And he goes, "What?" And I opened my hand and show this punk ass's Bluetooth. And he realized what's happening. And everybody else realized what happened and started laughing. And I started laughing. And he looked at me like, "Oh." And I made a motion to him, the same. I made the physical motion of me trying, I was miming me trying to knock the bathroom door open. And he looked at me as if to say, "Oh." And I said, "Yeah, you punk bastard. Payback's a bitch, isn't it, punk?" And then we bought some sodas and left. It's a guy's job to destroy his friends. That's what we do. He held me in the stinky bathroom and wouldn't let me out. And I let him talk into nothing for about 7.5 minutes, making a complete jackass out of himself. Why? Because I loved the bastard. And it was my job to humiliate him back after him locking me in that funk box. Yeah, that's right. I said it. Deal with it, punk. That's what we do as guys. Destroy our friends. It's our jobs. You dig? Okay, everybody. This is the S Machine, and I'm in the car again. And, I don't even know whether or not this segment is going to be on the podcast. I have no idea. Nor do I know how long this segment's going to be. Normally, I do. Normally, they're around 12 to 17 minutes, and I know that they're going to be that length because, quite frankly, I wrote them. But the thing is, this is normally a comedy podcast, about 80%, 90% comedy, or stories with comedic elements thrown into them. But sometimes I talk about serious topics, or I talk about something that I want to, you know, talk about that's not necessarily comedic. And this is going to be one of those times, and I just wanted to prepare you for that. Now, the rest of the show is going to most likely be all comedy. I'm recording, this is the first segment I'm recording for episode whatever this is. And I say that because I don't know whether or not it's going to be in this episode that's next, or whether or whether or not I'm going to put it in an episode in the future. I don't know. I may not even use this segment at all, but if you're hearing it, obviously I chose to use it. But what I wanted to talk about basically was the simple fact that when you look at the people that are around you, don't you realize that there are people that kind of don't have your best interest at heart and that you kind of got to get rid of them, you know? And it's a bad thing to feel about the people around you, you know? I saw it happen to a friend of mine, and it happened to me in the past, and I had this realization back then, but I think I just kind of organically let it apply the changes to myself without actually having some kind of big declaration or, you know, big talk with myself or talking with anybody else. But the thing is, I noticed that there are people that are around you got to get rid of them, you know? You've heard the old statement saying, you give someone an inch, they take a mile. And that seems like just a kind of thing where it would be an annoyance. And under normal circumstances, it is an annoyance. You know, you go to pick somebody up from someplace. You tell them you're in a hurry. Now, you're in a hurry because you just want to end your day, you know. So if they take a little longer, it's just an annoyance. You get home 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, maybe even a half an hour later. But it doesn't necessarily even really affect your life. But just like water dripping onto something like in the Japanese water torture or the water that cut the Grand Canyon, over the course of time,
those little slights and those little takings of a mile kind of add up. You know? Now, I'm doing a podcast now, and this is March of 2015, and hopefully later on this year I'll begin going on stage again with the new material that I've written so I can tune it up and knock the dents off of it and turn it into my next stand-up show. But I realize that this is a big undertaking because I do an hour and a half podcast every week, plus I'm writing some other stuff, plus I'm also trying to put my stand-up show together, and that requires a lot of time, and for the most part, I've been able to make sure that people do not interfere with that because it's very, very important to me to complete this. This is my career. This is what I believe I was born to do. So to me, it's very, very important. Now, if it's important to me and I'm important to you, then this should also be important. If I have friends or relatives that are working on something that's important to them, I will never be the reason that they don't get it done, ever. I will never do that. I will never ask of them things that will take too much of their time. I will never ask them for money that they could use for something else. I will never borrow money for someone that has, I ain't gonna borrow for money from anybody anyway, but I would never borrow money from someone that needs it for something, because if they care about me, they're gonna put themselves out and put themselves in danger to help me. You know, say for the sake of argument, you do something dumb that's your fault and you should take the penalty for it and you should suffer the consequences for it. And you go and you beg or browbeat a relative into loaning you money that they're going to use for their rent. Then of course, in this situation, you have your problem temporarily solved. Now, instead of owing money to a company or whatever kind of person who has no emotional tie to you, you now have a relative who, of course, if you ever lent the money to a relative, you know you're not exactly the top priority when it comes to being paid back. So they'll take a long time to pay you back if they pay back. And also, basically, nothing happened to them. But you're the one with the late, whose people are mad at because you didn't pay the rent or because you didn't pay a bill because you were trying to help this jackass. And it's the same thing with your time. I know, like I said, I'm in the entertainment business and it's what I love and what I'm good at. And I love doing this and I love getting emails from people that like my podcast. And when I was doing stand-up back in a few years ago when I had my last show, when I was in the cycle of doing that, you know, people want you to sign stuff, they hug you, you know. And if you play a city enough, and like my hometown back in Philadelphia or out in Los Angeles when I'm out there, if you play a city long enough, there's people that, you're not famous, but enough people have physically seen you where you'll go places where there's a lot of people, and every once in a while you'll run across two or three people and go, yeah man, aren't you the guy that did the whoop-de-whoop, and they'll mention the bit that you did on stage, and it feels great to know that you did that. But to be able to be good enough to get to that point, you have to put the investment of time in. You have to bust your ass. So I know people in show business and in regular businesses, and I know that if you're trying to do something massive or that's important to you, that you need to do, that requires a lot of time, the people around you have got to go, this person needs that time to do what they need to do. But some people don't think that way. We go back to those give them an inch and take a mile people. Those are the ones that keep making requests of your time when they should know better. See, there's a lot of people that don't understand what it takes to try to be the best at what you're doing or among the best at what you're doing, or what it takes to build a business from scratch, or what it takes to do something that's massive for you. It could be trying to lose weight. Maybe you need to lose 60 pounds. It's not easy to lose 60 pounds. I've done it before. I know how hard it is. It's not easy to be one of the best performers in your area. I've done that before. I know how tough it is and how much work I had to put in. I know that. Or to start a business from scratch. I know what it takes. I've done it. It takes a lot of work. And if you've never worked for yourself or built something with your own hands, you don't know what kind of investment it takes. And if you don't know what kind of investment it takes, you don't know how damaging it is when you take up so much of someone's time. I remember when I was a younger person, I was starting to do stand-up comedy. I had a girlfriend, and she knew what I wanted to do when I literally explained to her from the beginning, this is going to take up a lot of my time. Sometimes on the weekends, you're going to either have to come to the club with me and we'll go on a date after the show, or we're going to go on a date before the show, but I work on weekends. I tell jokes to strangers in different cities. That's what I do. And sometimes, and different points during the week, I need to rehearse. I need to write. I need to hit clubs during the week sometimes to make sure the material stays fresh and to add fresh material. That's my product. And in the beginning, it was fine, but then she started making requests. And in the beginning, the requests were okay. They were reasonable requests. And sometimes I had to shuffle things. But it didn't matter because she was important to me. Just like my stand-up and everything else I was doing was important to me. But then after a while, by the way, if you're hearing this rattling, that's those are the cobblestones on the streets. Because remember, I'm in the car. But the thing is, he started making these requests, and he started to become stupid requests. You know the difference between a request that is an actual request for something that is necessary, and when someone is testing you to find out if you love them more than you love the thing that you're trying to do. And there were more requests, and more requests, and more requests. And it got to the point where I realized what she was doing was sabotaging my stand-up because she wanted to prove to herself that she was number one, which she was. But stand-up is what I do. It's part of me. It's like this podcast now. It's what I do. It's part of me. I'm never going to stop doing it. I love it. Not just because I enjoy it, but because I enjoy my interaction with you bastards. And the kind words you sent to me. That you enjoy this crap. And then I started realizing, back to the girlfriend, I started realizing, why would you want to sabotage something of somebody you supposedly love? If I dated her, and because she was working in an office. Like, what about I decided, you know what? I don't like the fact that you're selling all these damn cars. Know what I'm going to do? Every time when I know there's a season where people sell the most cars, I'm going to try to take you out on the road with me and make you miss that time because I want to prove to you that I want to prove to myself that I'm more important than your car sales. I would never do that because that's not what you do. And that was the thing that got to me when I started realizing that there were people around me at that time, not just a girlfriend, but certain friends, who kept making such ridiculous requests on my time and lying to me about things because they wanted to get what they wanted. And I realized I wasn't a friend. I was a utility. I wasn't a friend. I was a tool in a toolbox. And tools and toolboxes don't have feelings. They don't have aspirations. They don't have dreams. They don't have things that they were born to do. They don't have things they love. They don't have feelings. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I can't even be honest with you. I was talking to Dan Lizette in the Podcast Digest. Go listen to a show, you bastards. But when we talked about, he asked me about certain things. And I remember saying that, you know, when you do this kind of thing, you got to have people around you that get it. You know what? That wasn't Dan Lizette I was talking to about. This was somebody else. But he looked like Dan Lizette. Damn it, Dan Lizette. If you're listening to this, I got like a friend that looks just like your ass. No, he doesn't look like your ass. He looks like you. I don't know what your ass looks like. I don't want to see what your ass looks like. I don't want to be on your show that bad again, you bastard. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm just fucking with Dan. But but I had a friend that was in a similar situation where he had a significant other that was doing the sabotage thing, and it ripped his guts out that he had to end the relationship because she was asking him to be something that he wasn't, and to give up something that he was doing long before he met her. But she just wanted him to stop and live a regular person's life, which is great if you're a regular person. If you're not a regular person, if you have like dreams and aspirations, something that you really need to do, and you don't want to be a cog in a wheel, which most of us are. Jesus Christ, that's horrible. I know what it's like to work in a fucking cubicle. I was a damn good salesperson, but it sucked. I wanted to jump out of a fucking window when I was in that cubicle. I couldn't take it anymore. I knew what I was supposed to be doing. Now, most people don't have the ability to be, you know, you can't. Everybody's not going to be Prince. Everybody's not going to be Richard Pryor. Everyone's not going to be, you know, Elon Musk at Tesla. Everybody's not going to be that. I get it. But it's something you want to do. Something you like to do. Something you love to do. And if it's not your profession, maybe it's just a hobby. Maybe it's something like that. But if you love somebody and you care about them, realize that they got to have time to do the things they need to do for themselves. Realize that they got to have time to do the things they need to do. And I realized that I was around people that didn't necessarily see that. They didn't get it. They thought that all of my time should be for what they wanted to do. Kind of took a little of the sunshine that was in Los Angeles away. Couldn't see all the rays of the sunshine because I had people around me who were sucking up all my time and didn't want me to accomplish anything. Maybe not consciously, but subconsciously. And quite frankly, even at this point now, where I've pretty much cleared the decks of all the people that are sabotaging me, there's still a few around. I'm not around them that much anymore because I know what they're doing and what they are. And I'm very slowly but surely ridding myself of that poison. But it's kind of an amazing thing, isn't it? When you think about it. When you can watch somebody finally wake up and realize it's something that they want to do or that they need to do or that they have to do or that they feel they gotta do. And there are people that think that the minutia, little things they could do for themselves or trips to the airport that they could get their wives to take them to instead of calling you at 3 o'clock in the morning, or you're trying to lose 60 pounds and they're trying to get you to eat pizza. You want to rehearse your act and they're calling you every 5 minutes talking to you about a fight they had with this, or even bigger things than that. Things where they set themselves up where they know that you're going to always be there to catch them when they fall, so they have no problem jumping off the tightrope because they know your hands are going to be down there to catch them. It's a pain in the ass. It really is. And it's not fair. It's not fair at all. So what I would say to you, and this is, like I said, I'm still in the process now of ridding myself of that, because I have a couple of people around me that are still like that. They're starting to learn their lesson now, you know. And it's bad because sometimes you almost got to go let them go splat. And I talked about it before in another podcast, but this situation came up again for another friend who was in a situation where the people around them were kind of subconsciously jealous, maybe, or just selfish. That sound is me putting the club on the car. Yeah, I still use the club. Shut up. But what are you supposed to do? I mean, aren't you supposed to have your life? Aren't you supposed to be able to do the things you want to do and what you need to do? It's amazing. And I can honestly tell you, I have no friends that will ever be able to tell you that this S. Anthony did anything to hinder them accomplishing their goals. If anything, if I have the power to help them accomplish those things, I help them out. They will all, to a man and to a woman, will tell you that. S. always helps me out if he can. He never gets in the way. If he calls for something and I'm busy, he says, you know what? You call me when you're done, whenever that is. I'll leave you alone because I know you're busy. They never get a phone call from me. Come on, man, pick me up from the blah, blah, blah. I know I shouldn't have been here in the first place, and being here basically is me saying a big F you to you because I know you're the only person that can help me, and I could have done this at any other time and not been a big pain in the ass. It's a shame. It's a shame. Well, you got to stop talking now, you bastards. I pulled up to the place that I'm supposed to be going. Like I said, I don't even know if I'm going to use this on the podcast. I have no idea. But for those of you that are listening, this segment's somewhere between 16 and 17 minutes. So if you want to, you know, what am I saying? I actually was about to just tell you to fast forward through this. But let's be honest. If you're hearing this right now, you already listened to the shit. So it'd be a little, you'd only be fast forwarding about 2 or 3 seconds. I'm an idiot. Maybe my friend should come back and fuck up my plans because... Segment over. Okay, you bastards, how you doing? Let me tell you something. I got to turn the car on. It's funny how many things I record when I'm up. Better turn the radio off because I do not want to hear anybody talking about you can't play my song when you think you ain't copy. You can get no copyright, nothing on me, you bastards. But this is something that kind of happened during the course of this morning. I got up this morning early and I had to take some relatives' medicine to the, because I mean, it's really weird because of my schedule, because of what I do, the fact that I do podcasts and the fact that I'm a comedian, actually I'm more of a podcaster than a comedian right now because I'm actually putting a new show together. So technically I'm not performing per se, you know, meaning I'm doing stuff where I'm not getting paid a lot of money to do it because I'm just testing crap out. But, you know, hopefully it'll be done and I'll be able to do it later on this year, which is 2015. But here's the thing. So, you know, I mean, like I said, because of my schedule, I have the ability to do certain things for relatives that they can't do. My hours are a little weird. So, you know, if I'm around, I'm available to take somebody to the damn doctor's office in the morning. You know, or if it's something late at night, I'm available for that because I'm coming home late. So that's the thing. So, you know, so this in this particular occasion, what is, I got all this construction work going on around here. In this particular occasion, what's happening is I take her relative's medicine to the pharmacy. I'm like, yeah, I'm driving past your pharmacy anyway. Just give me the damn bottles and I'll drop that crap off for you. So I drop it off and then I'm going around and, you know, I'm getting something to eat during the morning. And I see a meter, and I put some money in the meter because I think I'm going to be there for a while because there's a couple other things I have to do also. So I said, screw it, and I just loaded the meter to the max, and it's 3 hours. Now, I don't think I'm going to be there 3 hours, but how much does it cost, really? It's not like it's some kind of cost prohibitive thing to fill up the damn meter. It's not that big of a deal, okay? So as it turns out, what I need to do happened so unbelievably fast. Everything worked perfectly. I mean, it's like, oh, well, Mr. Chalmers, hey, but it's that. I'm going, what the hell? And like I said, it didn't matter. It wasn't that much. But it was like a couple bucks to put in the damn meter. Who cares? You know what I mean? It's better than getting the $80 ticket or whatever the hell it is, you know. So I'm about to leave, and I see a guy, and he's about to pull into a spot literally, I think, right behind me. And I got like 2 hours and 30 minutes left on the meter, and I'm sitting there going, there's no reason for this guy to put money into the meter if there's money on my meter. So I walk back to him and I go, hey. He goes, oh yeah, what's going on, buddy? And he's looking at me like, look at that guy in the Camry. That's cute. he has the Mercedes glasses to go along with the Mercedes car and the Mercedes gloves, you know. And he probably, if he opened his mouth, he probably had Mercedes teeth. It was just one of those guys. Hello, yes, scum with a human car. What? and I, like I said, I know it's not a money thing. The guy's driving a brand new Mercedes with Mercedes glasses and the Mercedes gloves with the Mercedes. It's like, dude, we get it. You're driving a Mercedes. Just calm down. I mean, you're actually in the Mercedes. I can understand if you're not in the Mercedes and wearing Mercedes stuff to let people know you're in a Mercedes, but we see you in the Mercedes, so calm down. That's like me wearing a hat that says, I'm a black guy, you know? People are going, dude, we know you're a black dude. How could you tell? Well, we're looking at you. Well, I just wanted to make sure you knew. The simple fact that I look like a black guy and am a black guy might not be enough. I'm going to put on these I'm a black guy gloves and these I'm a black guy glasses. And in fact, every once in a while, I finish off my sentence. It's like, you know, like when Kevin Nealon on Saturday Night Live played a subliminal guy and he went, how you doing? I'm a black guy. And I just want to say one thing, everybody. I'm a black guy. And I just want to let you know, it's what time is it right now? I'm a black guy. I don't want to do that because that's stupid. But this jackass with the Mercedes this, the Mercedes that. So I walk up to this chump and I say, hey, you know what? There's 2 hours and 32 minutes left on this meter. No reason for you to waste your coins. Why don't you just, you know, if you want to, since the car is still on. Apparently this is a Mercedes. I wasn't sure. Maybe you want to move up a little bit and take the 2 hours and 30. Excuse me. Sorry about that, guys. Sorry about the coughing. I have a sore throat. I'm been a little sick. Why don't you just take the 2 hours and 31 now, 2 hours and 31 minutes left on the meter? There's no reason for you to take. You know, I'm sure you have coins in your car just like I do, but there's no reason to waste them. I know that's not a big deal. You're driving a Mercedes. It's not a big deal. But why not take them? Very condescending. That's okay.
He literally did that. That's okay. And as he said, "That's okay," and harumphed me, like in some kind of Charles Dickens groove, you know, he does that, and he looks at his car as he's saying that. He's looking around his car, and he's doing the hand motions that you would make if you were a Barker's Beauty, if you remember that from The Price is Right. You know, they had the beautiful models, and they would do the hand motions displaying the product, and that's right, and you have an opportunity to win this new car. And she'd come out with a delicious body, and she'd wave and make the hand motions and point to the new car, and he was doing that. Was like, motions to his car, I'm okay. You dumb bastard. Maybe you and your punk ass Camry might need to worry about the $3, but I'm driving a Mercedes, damn it, and I don't need to save money. Never mind you're actually being courteous. Forget all that courteousness. I want to point out the fact that I'm driving a Mercedes. And I hope to goodness when I can afford a Mercedes that I never do that to somebody. Now, I actually had a lady who had a junky-ass car, and I'm driving a Camry, and she's driving a junky-ass car, and I normally don't say junky ass car because, I mean, it's like, I said, it's not like I'm driving a luxury vehicle. But the thing is, the car was fucked up, okay? Let's keep it real. The car, I mean, Fred Sanford would have said, you know what, I really don't need that in front of my house. So, but the thing is, she had some time on the machine. And I have coins in my car. I don't need anybody's. But the thing is, she was nice. She said, hey, sir, would you mind taking this parking? You know, there's an hour left in the meeting. I said, you know what? Thank you very much. And then I moved my car. I could have gone, oh, you in your chunky-ass car. I don't need to take your parking spot. I'm driving the mighty Toyota Camry. Do you like my Camry glasses and my Camry gloves? You do? I'm sure you do, scum. Did you realize that when I turn my car on, there's a 100% chance of my car actually starting? Unlike you, loser, where there's a 0% chance of your car starting because your car is complete garbage and your car is nothing. Did you know that Toyota's a real company that actually produces cars? I don't even know if your car even has an emblem on it. I don't even know the make and model of your car, scum. I'm sorry, please don't shake my hand. You drive a junky car, and I drive a Camry. Does your car even have a radio in it? Or do you have a boom box in your right seat to make sure you can hear the grooves of the music you like? I hear people of your type. I did not do that. So I took the spot, and I said, thank you. And she smiled, and she moved on about her way, you know. And the difference between my car and her car was roughly the same difference. Even though my car is not junky, it's clean and nice, thank you. It's the same difference between that high-level luxury vehicle and my car, you know. To him, he sees my car, which most people will go, hey, it's a pretty cute little car. He sees my car and goes, oh, scumbag. I know it's clean, but it's still not this, you bastard. So I take the lady, the spot the lady gives me, and move on. So this cat goes, whatever, scum. And he walks off, right? And he did. And here's the thing. He didn't even put any change in the meter. Think about that for a second. He's driving a car that costs all of that money. I offer him 2 hours and 31 minutes of time. He harumps me off and basically laughs in my face for thinking that I, a regular dude, should offer this magnificent human being with Mercedes balls, that I should offer him a parking space. He didn't even put any change in the meter. Okay? So what happens is I go around and I drive around, do my stuff. I come back and I'm come back to the same area maybe, I don't know, 45 minutes later. His car is still sitting there. Yes, it is. But now it's been adorned with something. Has it been adorned with a ticket? No. No, not a ticket. His tire has what one would like to... How could I describe what it is? Some would describe this device as a boot. Now, I don't know if you know what a boot is. I'm an East Coast guy right now, for a little while, and I don't know what they call it in different areas of the city, and I don't know if you're in the UK or you're in Australia or you're in Canada or in any other countries that are listening to me. A boot is a device attached to your wheel, so you cannot move your car. It basically makes your car inoperable. It happens when you don't pay tickets to the point where they now aggressively want their money back from you, and you have to have a lot of money. You have to owe a lot of money in tickets before they waste their time putting a boot on your car. And this guy now has a boot on his car. And it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. Now, I don't want someone to get a boot on their car, but the thing is, he harumphed me off when I offered him the free time. Do you realize that most likely what happened in many cases is he was going to get a ticket for not, doing what he's supposed to do, he was going to get a ticket because he didn't put any money into the meter, right? And when they were giving him the ticket, they ran his plate and realized he owed a lot more money. Because if you actually have time on the meter, the person who does the meter person just kind of keeps walking. There's no reason to look at you. But the simple fact that he harumphed off my 2 hours and 31 minutes of free time meant that the dumb bastard now has about at least $700 he has to pay, or $1,000, to get that crap off. All because he wouldn't take the 2 hours and 31 minutes of time that Mr. Thomas offered him. Now, the moral of the story is, don't be a dickhead. Ha ha! Yeah, that's right, I said it. Now, I'm not saying I'm happy that the guy got the boot. I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy when something bad happens to somebody. I really am not. Under normal circumstances. But this time, I only have one thing to say. Ha ha, that's what you get, punk. You should have took the time. Now, granted, based on the amount of money he spent on that car, it's not like he's not going to be able to afford his mortgage. It's not like he's going to miss a car payment. It's not like it's going to affect him in any way. But it got to piss him off. Why? Because even though he was so proud of his Mercedes, now he has to sit there and everyone sees his Mercedes and it's not going to go anywhere. Why? Because it's got a boot on it and he can't move it. And ha ha ha, that's what I got to say. It's right, punk. You should have taken the time, you bastard. And now you got to wait 3 days to get your car back, you punk. Yeah, that's right. I said it. I hope you have a Mercedes bus pass or Mercedes cab comes to pick your punk ass up when you try to go places. Because guess what? You're not going to be able to take your Mercedes, you bastard. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I've now arrived at my destination and I'm going to have to stop recording this crap. But be honest with you, that's all I wanted to say in the first place. Segment over. Okay, you weird bastards. We're about to go on the road again, damn it. And I'm going to keep the radio off because I don't want to hear anything about copyright, just in case some dumbass song comes on. And people, you can't play that song on your podcast. Shut up, punk. And I was just in a place, and it's really weird when you see someone that you find really attractive, and there were quite a few. And it was really weird because the lady caught me looking at her delicious bottom. Now, I wasn't leering or being disrespectful in any way. I just took a quick glance and in my mind thought, yum, yum, as any guy who saw her would say. But the thing is, it's really weird. And then I saw a girl looking at me, a really cute young lady. Now, really cute. But the thing is really weird because what happens is some people don't know how to flirt at all. You know, and I'm not saying I'm the king of flirting. I just don't like to waste any time. You know, I say, you know what, this. I'll just kind of ask you out, or I'll try to see whether or not you're interested and then move on from there. But some people are horrible at flirting. There was a lady there, I was talking to her. I was visiting a relative in the hospital. And I mean, she was one of the, I obviously found her cute. I mean, it was like, goodness gracious, you know, hey, all right.
And she obviously thought I was cute. You know, not that I'm some great shakes, but for whatever I am, she finds that attractive, okay? Okay, let's keep it real. Damn it, I am great shakes. Yeah, that's right. But it was really weird because it's like one of those things where as adults, sometimes when we're around people that we find attractive, we act like idiots, you know? And she was tee-hee-hee. Now, she had to have been in her late 20s, and she was very pretty, you know? She had her tee-hee-hee on. And, you know, and of course, you know, I mean, let's be honest. You've been listening to me for a while. You know that I'm incredibly smooth in most situations. So she walks up to me and she goes, are you a relative of the man here? And my uncle. You a relative of his? And I go, yes, I am. And she goes, you know what? This may be the wrong time to say this, but I'm going to strip off my clothes and bang you right here. And I said, listen. I'm going to let you. Okay, she did not say that. But she did tee-hee-hee and did the hair tossing thing, and she did the up-down thing. And I've already talked about the up-down thing, but I only talked about it in one episode, so maybe some of you have not heard it. But the up-down is when a woman looks down, tilts her head down to look at you, and then looks up and then looks down and then looks up and then looks down. She's basically giving you the, let me see all of this to see whether or not I want to, genetically, from a genetic standpoint, if I would like to mate with this human being. In other words, is this dude bangable? And of course, I am. I know that because I've banged myself when I was a teenager on a daily basis. Who am I kidding? On a twice daily basis. Who am I kidding? My arm is still hurting from what I did to myself when I was 15. Don't judge me. Shut up. But she was very flirty, and not in like a really embarrassing way, but in a way it was like, listen, the only thing she didn't do was go, listen, you're kind of cute. I find you sexually attractive. Do you want to go out on a date and eventually maybe bang me? In fact, I think she actually said that. Okay, no, she did not say that. I would like to her to have said that. I really would have liked to have her say that. But she didn't say that. She just said, hey, you know, this, that, the, oh, nice sweater you're wearing. So in the back of my mind, I'm going, this attractive woman in her late 20s with a delicious body. Now, when I talk about someone being gorgeous and then off the charts, I'm talking about what I like. Now, she's one of those people that everybody would say she's pretty. You know what I'm saying? But to me, it was like, ooh, which was really embarrassing because when she walked in the room, she said, hi, what's your name? And I said, ooh, which almost ruined it for me. Okay, I did not do that when she came into the room. I did that as she was walking out of the room, and I looked at her ass. I said, hey, she said, I'll see you later, Mr. Thomas. And I said, no problem. Ooh. And she looked back at me and said, did you just go, ooh, looking at my buttocks? And I said, yes, I did. And she says, good. I just want to let you know for the record that you did not ruin your chances of getting it on with me. And I said, great. None of that happened. So anyway, she comes in and we're having a nice conversation. And of course, we're supposed to be discussing my sick relative, who's not really sick, but he's in the hospital rehabbing some stuff. And she concludes the business because under normal circumstances, I have another relative that really handles paperwork and prescriptions and crap like that. If I'm around, which I have been lately, I'm the one that actually just drives them places. So I don't necessarily handle the medications or call the doctors or any of that crap. I would, but I can't because I'm not around enough for it. But I am around enough to, you know, take them from point A to point B, and you know, and then maybe someone else can take them home, or you know how it is. You coordinate all of that crap. So we're talking, and she's, you know, going through the whole, and I'm going, well, actually, really, my other relative handles that. And she goes, oh, okay. And then she's, you know, we handle the business. And for the first time in a long time in that particular situation, I didn't ask for the woman's phone number. I didn't. And I don't know why. Okay, maybe I do know why. Because she pulled out a stun gun and said, listen, just because I find you attractive enough to have sex with doesn't mean I'm going to have sex with you. Now stop looking at my breasts. Okay, she did not say that. But I got the vibe. You know, that's the really weird thing. Is there are people that you find attractive enough to have sex with
but you ain't gonna have sex with them. And I wish that crap would stop. If you find me attractive enough to get it on with me, damn it, then let's get it on. None of that crap where we just find each other attractive and don't get it on. What kind of ridiculousness is that? Only a human being would do that. Other animals, if they find somebody attractive enough to get it on and that person is not in a relationship at all, you know what they do? They walk behind a tree and bang the crap out of each other. And I think she knew that's what I was had in mind, because I said, you know, I would like to talk to you right now about my uncle's medication. And I said, you know what? Let's talk behind that tree. And she said, wait a second. We're both attractive human beings and we both find each other sexually attractive. And you look like the kind of guy that has a podcast and a theory that people that find each other attractive but that are not in a relationship should go behind a tree and bang each other, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am one of those people. And she says, I figured as much. And then I walked her behind a tree and banged her. That did not happen. But I didn't ask for a phone number because, quite frankly, I'm all about business right now. You know, and because I know when I'm in a relationship with somebody, I like to invest as much time in them as possible. And I know that it's not fair right now for me to get into a relationship. And I'm a relationship type of dude, have always been. I'm not a one-night stand type of guy because not enough women will have a one-night stand with me. Okay, actually, that part's not true. But I don't want to do that anymore because I'm not in my early 20s when that was happening all the time. Well, not all the time. Maybe a couple of times a month. Okay, that's not... Okay, maybe not... Okay, maybe once a month. Okay, maybe five times in my 20s. Shut up. I never said I was Gene Simmons. Shut your mouths. But what I'm saying, damn it, is I didn't move in on that girl because I showed restraint. The kind of restraint that should make all of you proud of me. You should all be proud of me, you sick bastards. You should go, S. Anthony, you had an opportunity to bang that young nurse and you didn't do it. And you should be proud of me. That's right. You should be proud of me that I showed that type of restraint. And the fact that her phone number is in my phone and I'm definitely going to have sex with her at some time in the next week is I should not have told you that. I'm gonna have sex with her. So I'm sorry, you didn't see her. Shut up. I'm gonna have sex with her. I don't care if you people judge me, damn it. I'm definitely gonna have sex with her. So really had nothing to do with this segment. I just really wanted you to know that by the time you hear this segment, I will have had sex with that really attractive nurse. Yay me. Yeah, what are you, jealous? I've offered to bang some of you on the podcast. I said, some of you ladies out there, if you would like to bang the S machine, go right ahead, man. Okay, dudes, that's not going to happen. I'll high five you. Women, we get it on. Dudes, you get a high five. But that's all you're getting. And don't hold on to the high five too long because I have a germaphobic type thing going on. Okay, no, I do not have a germaphobic. Okay, maybe I have a little bit of a germaphobic thing going on. I bought one of those canisters of hand sanitizer. And the only reason I bought that crap was because I think I might have talked about it on the podcast before. There's this guy that whenever I go to this particular donut shop, I always buy him something because he's a homeless guy. So I always buy him like a sandwich and a coffee or something. Yeah, actually, I did talk. You know what? Oh, man, I remember talking about this cat. In fact, I'm not even going to tell you the story because I actually did... Now I remember, I did talk about him. It was actually in episode one. So go to episode one of this podcast, and I won't have to tell this damn story again. But don't go now, because I'm in the middle of a segment, you bastards. Don't you even think about stopping this. You, when this is over, then after that, then go and listen to episode one of the Yes Anthony Says podcast, you bastards. Don't you ever fast forward or pause my stuff. How dare you? In fact, even if you're at home right now, and there's an emergency. Say your cat has something caught in his throat and is choking. Well, that's just too bad. You better find a way to listen to this at the same time you Heimlich your cat. And you better Heimlich that cat. Don't let anything bad happen to cats. Because if you listen to my podcast, you should know by now that I like cats. Why am I talking about all this weird crap? It's probably because I'm driving. I tend to ramble about stupid crap when I record podcast segments in the car. But back to the nurse I'm definitely going to have sex with. I just want to let you know, folks, that I'm going to use protection. I'm going to use protection when I get it on with the hot nurse, because I want to make sure that I protect myself. And I think you should be responsible when banging a hot nurse. You should be responsible because you don't want to catch any STDs. I mean, just because she's a nurse, that doesn't mean she doesn't have a sexually transmitted disease. I mean, if you're a nurse and catch a sexually transmitted disease, you might not even tell anybody because you might be embarrassed, because they might be going, wait a second, aren't you a healthcare professional? Aren't you the person that puts on gloves to touch a person's arm and all you're doing is taking blood? Aren't you the person that wipes people's arms with alcohol swabs and you weren't smart enough not to bang somebody without a condom on? You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be embarrassed that you did that. How dare you? So that's, you know what, I changed my mind. I'm not going to bang this nurse because I don't know if she's the kind of person who would do that. I mean, she shook my hand without a glove on it. Okay, she probably wouldn't wear a glove to shake the hand of someone who's not sick and not a patient. But that's a different story. You know, I changed my mind again. I was going to say that I'm not going to bang the hot nurse. And then I remembered how charming she was and how delicious her buttocks looked. And how, well, quite frankly, I'm just glad that somebody wants to get it on with me. So I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to do it. Should I do it? Should I get it on with the hot nurse who obviously wants to get it on with me? You should. I would, you know, if I'm not even sure whether or not I'm going to put this segment on the show. I don't know. Because sometimes I record segments that you never hear. This might be one of them. I don't know yet. But all I'm saying is, I'm wondering if I should get it on with the nurse. And be honest with you, I don't even know if I'm going to do it. I may do it, I may not. Haven't had sex in 3 months. Who am I kidding? I'm going to bang the nurse. You know what would be hilarious right now is if somewhere she's doing the cute nurse podcast and she's going, I met a guy. Hi, this is the cute nurse podcast. And I met this guy and he's very cute. A cute black guy with dimples. And I don't even know why I said cute black guy, because I'm also black. So why would I point out that he's black? But that's a different story. And why am I speaking in his speech patterns? It's almost as if he's doing a caricature of my personality, but using his own speech patterns. Shut up. Don't judge me, you bastards. Oh my God, I'm talking like him. Anyway, I would just like to say that he has dimples and he's cute. I even like that little gap in his two front teeth. That's even sexy also. He's just perfect. Well, maybe I'm not going to bang him because I know he's a stand-up comedian and he's been a stand-up comedian his entire adult life and he's probably banged a lot of women on the side. Even though it's, well, not on the side, because he doesn't look like the kind of guy that would cheat on anyone, but I'm sure he's banged a lot of women. Or maybe he came to the hospital and I made it very, very clear that I wanted to have sex with him and bang him because he's cute. And then he said, you know what? You're the most beautiful nurse I've ever seen and I'm going to bang you. Okay, he did not say that. He did not say that at all. But I saw him looking at my button going, ooh. And when I saw him doing that, I knew he wanted to get it on with me. But then again, he's a male and I'm attractive. So what attractive male wouldn't want to get it on with me? Because I'm incredible. Because this is the Cute Nurse Says podcast. Yes, I changed the name from the Cute Nurse podcast to the Cute Nurse Says podcast. For some reason, I feel a kinship with him, and I have a feeling that if he podcasts, and I'm not sure that he does, but if he had a podcast, it would probably be his name plus says, and then the word podcast. I'm not sure if that's the case. Anyway, I'm thinking of banging him. He looks like a nice guy. He looks like the kind of guy that always uses protection when he bangs super attractive nurses. So I'm definitely going to bang him. Okay, maybe I won't bang him because, like I said, he's a comedian and he might have banged lots of women. He looks like the kind of guy that in his 20s probably had about 5 or 6 one-night stands, but not more than that, because he never said he was Gene Simmons. Anyway, I would just like to say that I'm definitely going to bang the comedian S. Anthony Thomas. I mean, I don't know he's a comedian because during our conversation, he never said he was a comedian. And quite frankly, me saying that he's a comedian would imply that he's actually just doing a caricature of me and saying that I would say that, but I didn't say that. Okay, I lost my train of thought because I just saw a friend of mine and I waved to him. Shut up. I never said I was perfect. Normally, when I'm doing one of these characters, I'm not distracted by stuff. Shut up. I never said I was perfect, you bastards. But in all seriousness, my friends, I am absolutely going to have sex with that nurse.
And I'm going to enjoy it because I enjoy having sex with attractive women. Now, am I saying she's going to become a girlfriend? I don't know. She may become a girlfriend. But what's important is I am absolutely going to have sex with her. Oh, gosh. I don't even know why I told you that I'm definitely going to be having sex with that incredibly attractive nurse, but it's going to happen. This is the part where I normally end the segment, but I want to say one more time that by the time you hear this, I will have had lots of sex with that incredibly attractive nurse. Segment over.
Well, folks, thank you very, very much. This is the S. Anthony Says Podcast. I want to thank you very, very much for listening to the Outtakes and Extras show. If you like it, let me know, and I'll grab up some of the other stuff that you didn't hear and pack that crap into a show so you can hear that stuff too. Okay? Okay. I want to thank you guys for your email and for the reviews. I really, really appreciate it. Sorry about my voice being so rough right now. I just have a sore throat and I'm not feeling too well. But I'm cool, and I made this show just for you bastards. The email for the show is yesanthonysayspodcast@gmail.com. The home base for the podcast is santhonysays.podbean.com. And of course, you can hear this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn's. Essentially, you can basically just Google S. Anthony Says and it'll pop up. And if you want to find the RSS feed for this, for your podcast, you'd go to the santhonysays.podbean.com site and it's there. You can just click on the RSS feed and then you can actually just put it into your podcatcher. But quite frankly, the podcatchers are so good now, you could probably just do a search and find it. But either way, listen to the podcast, subscribe, tell your friends, leave 4,000-star reviews. You know you love the show, you bastards. And I appreciate every one of you. Much love to you all. Until next week, S. Anthony out.